$300 when we, Davis gave me some money, said, oh, you're gonna, you know, some, you might buy somebody a drink or something.
Yeah.
When we went, no, no, when we went back to the National League of Cities. And I never spent a nickel.
Can you hear me okay? Hi, I'm Allie Anderson, new city recorder with Newport. Welcome. It is 4 o'clock, so I'm gonna start with roll call. Counselor Hall.
Here.
Peggy Sabanskes.
Here.
Lon Russellback. Mark Salines.
Here.
Mark Colson.
Here.
Angela Nabel.
Here.
John Clark.
Here.
Bob Thurman. Online, joining us online. And Anna Robella.
Here.
All right. We've got everybody kicking it over to meeting facilitation guidelines.
Okay, hi everyone. I'm Nina Vetter. I'm the city manager. I started here in July of 2024. Time flies. We're having a good time in Newport. So thank you so much for volunteering to be part of the city council stipend / compensation work group. We put in as many words as we could think of into the title of this work group. But we really appreciate you volunteering your time for working on this issue. For today's meeting, we're really focused on kind of an orientation as to what this work group is charged with doing, what the council guidelines and responsibilities are. And for those of you who may be new or maybe need a little refresher on what the city does and how our form of government works, we're also going to do a little refresher on that as well today. And then moving forward, we'll cover this at the end when we get to next steps. We will talk about our next few meetings and what we're hoping to accomplish and really dive into the topic of potential city council stipend / compensation. So in the packet, Allie, is it possible to pull up the resolution?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Please hold. Okay, thank you, Allie. So you'll see up here the resolution that was adopted by City Council to reestablish.
Excuse me. Can you do a share screen so I can see that also?
Yes, we will work on that.
Thank you. There we go.
Oh, we got it? Okay. Look at that. Yep. That was quick. Okay, so in the resolution, which is in the packet, you can see the resolution starts with some whereases, which of course provides some context on why the city council thought that this work group was really important. And if you scroll down to... you could see that it outlines what the work group is to do. So in section 3, it's envisioned the work group will meet a minimum of once a month and conclude no later than June 16th of 2025. So wow, do we need to get to work. The work group is charged with studying elected official compensation strategies, including but not listed to the following that you see there, and then producing a report with a recommendation to the city council, which identifies what compensation, if any, should be provided to elected officials in the city of Newport and when that compensation should be initiated. So that is really the charge of the work group, again, is to study potential compensation strategies, provide a recommendation as to what you think should move forward and when that should be implemented. So that's really the charge of this work group. I'll pause for any questions. Or if Councillor Hall wanted to add any other further. No questions? Okay, moving on.
Okay, I am actually sorry. Okay. I noticed from that resolution that it does say, you know, that the piece about attempting to get budget committee members, I want to state that we do not have that representation. Are there folks who are on this that are not present today?
This is the full work group.
I think that we may have had some folks fall through the cracks then, because I think there were previous iterations of folks who applied, were approved, and did not get this notice. And names that are coming to mind, Janet Webster had applied, I believe, and did not get noticed about this. And I believe, unless they didn't, Rex Capri, I think, also had applied for the compensation. I don't know if they had decided not to, but I know that their name had been approved. So I just want to make sure that there weren't folks that fell through the cracks by accident, by oversight. I mean, this has been like a long process, you know, to get this off the ground. So I just want to make sure we didn't accidentally miss folks.
Yeah, that might be before my time. So we can
I know 100% that it was before your time. Yes.
We can look into it, though. Okay. I do know we had one person who did indicate that they no longer wanted to serve, and I don't remember which person that was, but we did have one who did step down, and we filled that spot. Yeah. Okay. Anything else on the resolution? All right. So I'm not going to discuss the 2C, which is the Oregon ethics law. Feel free to peruse that at your own leisure. But it is important to note that you as committee members are subject to the Oregon ethics law. So just because you're a volunteer doesn't make you exempt from those. So please read them so you know what the rules and regulations are that apply to you. All right. So we're going to jump into a bit of an orientation. The Oregon City County Management Association, which I'm a member of, has put together what's called a civic education toolkit, which is intended to be a way of providing information about our form of government and what it does and how we work. So we are going to share a video, I think it's pretty short, about 5 minutes, from the toolkit first, and then we'll get into a little bit more detail.
We're a corporate established public organization called a public a municipal corporation that's established by a set of bylaws that we call the city charter. Okay? The city charter, right over here. The city charter was adopted by the residents of this community, by the voters, a long time ago to create what was called a council manager form of government. So this charter created this organization that really mirrors private sector corporation. So up here, instead of stockholders, who do you think we have? The residents do. Your residents, citizens. If you live here, no matter how you got here, you're one of us. You're part of the person who owns this government, right? So instead of stockholders, we have residents, voters, etc. These are the people who decided that this type of government we're going to have. They voted this in. We care about them. And instead of a board of directors, they have the city council in Woodburn is selected by wards. It's not that way in every city. Some are large, but this one's by wards. If you live somewhere in town, you have a councilor that represents your ward. You can vote for that person, except the mayor. The mayor is at large. So the whole city votes for our mayor. Your city councilor is selected by little corners of the city across the city by ward. And so the role of the city council here under this council manager for government is a policy board, right? The City Council has no oversight of the day-to-day operations of the city. They set the policy for the direction of the city. They help make financial decisions. And they represent the people who elected them. So there is a bond here between the City Council and the residents of this community. And by the way, it doesn't matter what ward you're from. If you're on the City Council, you're selected by ward, but you represent the interests of this community as a whole, right? Sometimes people think I'm elected by the ward. I'm here to protect my ward, and they don't want the driveway next to the thing. And I'm going to do, you know, even if it's in the interest of the entire community, you know, I like to say, well, you have to remember, we are the City Council. You are the city. We represent everybody's interest here. And sometimes leadership is leading your ward and the people who elected you into these conversations about what is in the interest of the whole. The mayor breaks ties and is a ceremonial figurehead for the city. So the mayor's power is in running the meetings and then representing the interests of the city to the broader interests of the world. The mayor is a ceremonial position, and that's very common in Oregon and actually across the United States. There are some high profile cities where the mayor is in charge. If you're in Chicago or if you're in Portland, that's a different form of government. But generally speaking, in most cities in Oregon, mayor is ceremonial, city councilors vote on policy issues and represent the policy directives and interests of the people who voted for them. And then, this is my favorite one, then there's a city manager, CEO, right? That's me. So I work for the city council. City council works with me. My job is, I'm nonpartisan, I'm non-political. I am the CEO for the city of Woodburn. If we were a private corporation, we would have our customers here and stockholders, and we would have the board of directors, and we'd have the CEO. So this was part of the reform that was done 125 years ago to mirror private sector corporate structure. And then we have the city departments. This was a private corporation. I'd be the CEO, and then we might have like the widget manufacturing branch, the widget marketing, right? We would have the widget transportation, distribution. We'd have these different functions that were the business of what we were in. But in Woodburn, we have like the police department, planning department, finance, economic development, and on and on and on, all the things that we do, the city. And we do just about everything else in between. We do environmental work, we deliver water to your house, we take the wastewater away. Trust me, you would miss those things if they didn't exist. When you call 911, somebody shows up, right? That's what we do. So we're in a variety of all kinds of things. And that's the business of local government that we do.
So in Newport, we don't have wards, so that is a difference from Woodburn. But generally speaking, that is a good representation of the council manager form of government. But I'm going to dive into what our form of government is like here at the city of Newport, because every city is a little different and distinct. So we'll start with what we do as a city. Every city provides a different group of services. So I like to say we're all different. We provide public safety. So we have a police department. We also have a fire department and a very small emergency management section as well. We have public works, which includes maintaining our streets and roads, ensuring that we have clean and safe water that makes it to your home. Same with wastewater, getting out of your home. We also do stormwater work, but we don't actually have a dedicated crew for stormwater. That's provided by our streets crew. And we have to maintain our own buildings that we have across the city, so that's also part of public works. We also have an engineering department that provides engineering services for public projects, like if we're building a new park or putting a new roof on a building, but also ensures any private development is in line with our code. We have Parks and Recreation, which manages right across the street here, our Recreation Aquatic Center, as well as the 60 plus or senior center, and also maintains all of our parks and trails across the city. We also have a library, which you probably are familiar with the actual library itself. The library also is our community engagement department. And we have community development, which in most cities is referred to as planning and zoning. So they approve new development and also conduct comprehensive planning. We do have our own municipal airport. And then last but not least, to support all the things that we do as a city, we have support services like the city manager's office, our finance department, HR, IT, et cetera. We do all those services with 165 FTE is what we call them. Those are really people, 165 people, provide all these services across the city of Newport. Okay, now this is a little hard to see. This is our city of Newport org chart. So you can see the top looks very similar to what you just saw in the video from the city of Woodburn. Of course, at the top, we have our community members who elect our city council. So we have 7 city councilors, including the mayor. There are 3 employees that the council has. That includes a city attorney, a city manager, and a municipal judge. And then under me are all of our department directors and our staff who help run the city on a day-to-day basis. Okay, now this is more words. but the city charter, if you're not familiar with the document, is really the founding document for the city. So it lays out who we are and kind of how we operate. So if it's not a very long document, so you can find it on our website if you want to dig into more how our city was founded and how we are supposed to operate. But I did want to pull a few paragraphs from it because it is really relevant to our form of government, which I think is helpful in providing you context when you're thinking about compensation for elected officials. So in this chapter, section 34, it talks about what the responsibilities are of the city manager. So it states that the office of the city manager is established as the administrative head of the city government. The city manager is responsible to the council for the proper administration of all city business. The city manager will assist the council in development of city policies and carry out policies established by ordinances and resolutions. I'm not going to read the whole rest of it, but hopefully that just gives you a little context on what the responsibility of the city manager is versus. There's also a section on city council. So again, feel free to read the whole document. There are several chapters that reference city council and city council powers, especially regarding the approval of ordinances and resolutions. But I did take from chapter or section 24 through 28. This is really about council election. So Section 24, councilors, the term of a councilor in the office when this charter is adopted is the term for which the councilor was elected. At each general election after adoption, 3 councilors will be elected for 4 terms. So this is the part of the charter that establishes the rotation at which councilors are elected. Section 25 references the mayor. It says that every general election after the adoption of this charter, a mayor will be elected for a 2-year term. So that establishes that. We also have section 26, city elections have to be conducted in accordance with state law. Section 27, nonpartisan elections. All elections for city offices shall be nonpartisan. This is really common across most city charters, but I think that's important to share. And then section 28, qualifications. This part's also really important because this establishes who legally can actually become a city councilor within the city of Newport. So qualification A, the mayor and each councilor must be a qualified elector under state law and reside within the city for at least 1 year immediately before election or appointment to office. B, no person may be a candidate at a single election for more than 1 city office, so you can't run for 2 seats at the same time. C, neither the mayor nor a councilor may be employed by the city. And D, the council is the final judge of the qualifications of its members, subject to judicial review. So again, this provides really the framework on which councilors are elected. But there is more in the city charter if you would like to read more. Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit about roles and responsibilities, and Councillor Hall, please fill in here things that I forget to include. But this is the simplest way in which I have heard the roles and structures of council laid out. Our council provides high-level direction for the organization. Typically, this is in an annual retreat. We actually just completed one in February of this year where the council decides what are the top priorities for the next fiscal year for the entire organization. The council also provides policy guidance and approves policies. This could be in the form of a policy itself, a resolution, a proclamation, an ordinance, and this is typically done at a council meeting. The council also provides guidance and support to all of the city council committees. And last but not least, the city council oversees those three positions, the city manager, the city attorney, and the municipal judge. Councillor Hall, did I miss anything up there? The structure, the way the council operates, is there is a work session. Right now, those start at 4 p.m. They're held every first and third Monday of the month. Typically, our work sessions are to cover potential new programs, an update on where we are with something, or to discuss a complex item that requires policy guidance that might eventually come to the council in a regular meeting, but really requires some input and some direction before we get that far. We also then have council business meetings. They start at 6 p.m. the first and third Monday. The council meeting is where council does receive updates and also adopts any relevant policies that are presented before them. They also receive public comment, and they also sometimes hear presentations, sometimes from staff and sometimes from outside entities who come and provide updates. Like most recently, we had the district attorney, and we're going to have the Lincoln County School Board coming at our next council meeting. Of course, there is more than that than council does. Council does attend committee meetings like ours today. They also participate in public input events like our City Center Revitalization Plan meeting we have next week. And they also attend, you know, employee events, other things that just happen that the council wants to show up and be supportive of. And what I didn't list up here is council also sits on other regional committees as well that aren't necessarily City of Newport committees, right? But the Lincoln County Homelessness Board, some of them serve on some other state committees. So there's also other meetings that council also participates in as well. Councilor, did I miss any other kind of regular ongoing items that council participates in?
No, you're covering it. And there's so much institutional knowledge up on the dais right now with so many seasoned veterans who are emeritus counselors. I feel like they, and mayors, I feel like they should weigh in also. Yeah.
This is a very high level overview. So, okay, I did want to transition a little bit to one of our goals for the next fiscal year. I mentioned that council recently held a retreat, and we discussed what goals look like for next year. And we came up with 7 goals that got approved by council, and I'm just going to focus in on one that's really relevant to this group. So focus area number 5, which says strengthen recruitment and retention programs for city employees, city council, and committee members, creating a strong foundation for the future. So this work group and some of the other work that we're doing across the city really is in support of this focus area number 5.
Can you explain that a little bit, what you have in mind?
Yeah, so for this focus area, you know, I think it really kind of divides into 2 areas. So obviously in the strengthening recruitment and retention for city employees, that will look very different than strengthen recruitment and retention for city council and committee members. But the idea is for both that we want to make sure that we have a good pipeline of individuals, both staff at the city, but also for our council, so that we can continue to have a strong organization. And we know that that doesn't come without work. We're in a time right now where it's hard to recruit. Within the city organization itself, Some positions are harder to recruit for than others, so it's not consistent across the board, but generally it is hard to recruit for local government. We're not always the highest paying. We offer a lot of other benefits. And it's, you know, we always think it's great to be public servants, but it can be really hard to recruit in this space. And likewise, you know, city council and committees are really volunteer positions, and it is really hard to recruit people who want to take their time to give back and participate. And we know that having good people who care and want to help the community in those positions are really critical for our organization. Because our council serves as our leadership for this organization. You know, we know the quality of the services we provide the community is a direct reflection of our staff. And so we think it's really important that we don't just have good people today in these positions, but we're actually thinking about how do we recruit and bring in more people over time to make sure that we can continue to have really strong people in these positions moving forward. So I think that's the reason why this focus area came up as something that was really important for next fiscal year. But Councillor Hall was at the retreat all day too, so I don't know if you have anything else or context you want to add.
Yeah, I will actually say something here. Just the idea around thinking a little bit outside the box in terms of looking at there is an unspoken privilege that we were able to convene at 4 p.m. and what that might mean for folks who could make 4 p.m. work and what that could mean for folks who can't make 4 p.m. work and how that works for folks who, you know, we have our work sessions at 4 p.m. and how some folks who are, you know, able to flex their work schedule, but it can be a barrier, right? And does that mean that it makes it harder for folks who might consider serving as city councilors or serving as volunteers or whatnot because they think, well, I can't make that schedule work, or I don't have childcare, or I don't have other arrangements or support systems? So that is part of that. And some of the things that we've done to support city employees in the last couple of years were things like moving to a four-day week where the city is open for business, essentially, to serve customers 4 days a week so that it would be more attractive to give a three-day weekend and have a longer day but give people more of that flexibility, because just looking at trends and, you know, like as Nina was saying, we may not have the highest salary, but that is a benefit that people really do want. And so just things like that, trying to stay on trend, being innovative, being responsive to city employees and things like that. So those are things I want just to add to that.
Any other questions?
Not yet?
Okay. Nailed it. We're already done with our presentation. Woo. So that was kind of just a brief overview of, you know, again, who we are, a quick reminder. So we want to talk next about kind of what next steps might look like for this group, how we're going to accomplish getting this across the finish line. And then really important, we need to elect a chair of this group as well today. So we will do that last, so just know that's on the radar, something we still need to complete before the end of this meeting. But like we mentioned, the goal in the resolution is to have this work completed by June of this year, and we're going to attempt our best to get it done by then. So we would like to continue with a pretty frequent meeting schedule in order to accomplish this. I don't know about you, but I also find it helpful to just, once we're on a topic, keep going and so I don't forget what we did, you know, 3 months ago. So we'll keep a pretty rigorous schedule. For our next meeting, we would like to bring to you some research on what other cities do for council compensation. And that varies pretty widely, everything from actual dollars, money, to access to facilities, to office space, to childcare. There's a pretty big range of what council benefits look like depending on the city. So we would like to do some research of what other cities across the state do and bring that forward to you for discussion so that you have just some awareness of what the options are and what other cities are looking at, and then kind of move forward from there. And Ali, did you have anything else?
Can I suggest something? Mm-hmm. John and I talked about it a little bit, but can you make that kind of specific to cities that are our size? You know, we looked around and, you know, you've got cities that have got a full-time job, somebody getting paid $69,000 a year, but they live in a city that's 500,000 people. And so we'd like to see, and I think we, how many do you have on the list, John? Maybe
there's 16 cities in Oregon in the 9,400 to 1,000 range. Would be nice. Oregon City's compensation.
Yeah, dated.
So
yeah.
Even some of the numbers there. City sizes are totally different. I have information, so you don't. I'd say in the city.
Excuse me, the audio is cutting in and out.
Oh, you got to get your mic sound on.
So sorry you couldn't hear us earlier, but anyway, I think it'd be valuable for this group to at least be making the apples to apples comparisons of cities our size. I'm sure the league has, they could help you. It's, I don't know if they'd give me that information if I call them. They may or may not, I don't know. But that'd be helpful.
Yeah, I was wondering if there was any analysis done on these comparable cities where they decided that one process or one approach was workable and another one wasn't. So anybody, any city that also comes with any kind of an analysis of their whole process, that would be really useful.
Well, that was going to be my interest too, is seeing if we had some examples around the state or even another state for what kind of compensation. But I wanted to remind people that way back whenever I was a city councilor, so it's probably back in 2017 or something, this same topic came up for compensation. And we had a gentleman who was visiting. He was actually just a tourist. And he could not believe it. He said, I've lived all over the country. I've been in cities of all size. I've never heard of a city council that doesn't get some sort of compensation. Now, having said that, of course, there's the budget element. But in realms of goal number five, trying to recruit people for myself, I was working full-time for Lincoln County when I was a city councilor. And when I switched from state government to county government, I started zero vacation time, right? So, you know, you want to build up a nest egg of time. Well, I burnt most of that time coming to afternoon work sessions and whatnot. So, you know, there are things where maybe people who aren't as well off or can't afford to necessarily, you know, leave their job for a couple hours. I think that's where some kind of minimal compensation kind of could come into play, particularly in terms of the recruitment aspect.
Allie, was there anything else you wanted to add on the analysis that we're looking at doing or research?
Ultimately, coming up with a compensation package and report to bring to council. And I wonder, can we talk about scheduling? Thank you so much for those of you. I'm brand new, so I've called a lot of you, emailed you, and I appreciate the doodle polls that you filled out. While we have you here, if you don't mind, perhaps we could talk about your availability and a potential next meeting date. If it's easier, I did select 3 days in April, and just based upon your availability that you've shared, it looks like later afternoon seems to be the consensus. So if I could throw out a couple dates for you, I was looking at April 15th, which is a Tuesday at 2 p.m., Thursday 17th, 3 or 4 p.m.
Is it April 15th?
That's correct.
Actually, I drink that day. I don't.
I don't think we said these needed to be sober meetings, right? Just kidding.
So Thursday 17th, 3 or 4, or another Tuesday, April 22nd, 3 or 4.
I can't do it the last part of the month, but the earlier days in April, I can do it.
I'm okay with any of them.
I'm free all the time.
I'll work it up. I can change something.
What was the third one in April?
April 22nd, but that sounds like that one may...
Is that bad for you, John?
It's, I don't have the family calendar with me, but I think issue. The answer is yes. Okay. I think it's a bad week.
I can do the 15th or 17th, but I can't.
Okay. Yeah, I can do the 15th or the 17th.
Okay.
I can do 15th.
I can do any.
Okay.
Okay, so it sounds like the 17th.
Works for 15th and the 17th.
Wonderful. How about same time, 4 o'clock?
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
So Thursday the 17th, 4 o'clock.
That's correct. Wonderful. Thank you.
So the first meeting, I may be out of town. We'll have Zoom capability though. Okay.
Yes, we will maintain Zoom capability. So we will plan to do some research and send that out in advance through the packet so that you have some information before the meeting to discuss. And then we will come up with an agenda like we did for today.
I don't know if it's possible to get this kind of information, but since recruitment is part of the equation, would we have any way to know to connect the compensation packages of communities our size with their recruitment efforts for their city council to know what is working, because they might have a compensation packet, but they might not get any more applicants for positions than we do. So to see what might be yielding more applicants might be helpful.
And maybe next time we can talk about the May dates, because I have a vacation out of the country that we had planned for a year already, so... I will be unavailable for a couple of weeks in May.
Should we just proceed to try to schedule that now? Would that be easier?
So are we heading for like 3 times? Or we're missing the 3rd time now? Is that what we're heading for?
Well, ultimately, we have until June 16th to bring this report to council. So if we could meet, probably, and you know, we may meet a couple times in May if we need more time. We can start with this date in April and look at one in May and see where we land. Give me 1 second. I'm going to pull up the calendar for May.
While she does that, a question. So by June, the upcoming budget, it's basically pretty much done with. So presumably... we would be talking about implementation a year from now or something?
Yes, or? I mean, ultimately we'll look to you all for that recommendation, but yes, our budget will be completed by then for the next fiscal year. So unless we wanted to do, you know, a supplemental budget and felt like it was important to include, if you wanted to get it in the regular budget cycle, you would be looking at implementation in the fiscal year 26-27.
Can I clarify? Doesn't it have to go to the voters, or am I missing that detail? I thought it had to go referred out.
I think it depends on what the
charges. The committee's going to make a decision in their recommendation to whether it goes to the council for approval or rejection, mm-hmm. or the voters.
Of the people. Mm-hmm.
One more thing. While you're, this is for Nina. While you're perusing these different cities' policies, somebody has decided that there should be a cookie cutter example that's very useful, and they just simply picked it out of found it on Wikipedia or something, and it might not be nearly as painstaking as this appears to be.
I hope we find one of those. That'd be nice. It's hard because everyone does do it a little differently. I think that's the challenge with this topic is it varies so widely from city to city that, it's really interesting. But if we find one, we will let you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think the league should be able to help you. I really do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I hope they would do too. I think they will. To the best of their ability.
So one area I want to highlight when looking at other city compensation, and I don't know how this would play out for a city, but I'm very familiar with it for nonprofits or what I would call sort of pseudo nonprofits like the Lincoln Soil and Water Conservation District, state government, federal government, and that has to do with when you're traveling. It would be fairly typical for a city councilor to use their own vehicle, to go to the League of Oregon Cities or whatnot. And probably, if I was an insurance agent and I now found out that the counselor was being compensated for that and that person got in an accident, I would say, I'm sorry, you were traveling on city business. You're not covered. So what I have had to stress I've worked for a lot of groups who the volunteers and or paid staff use their own vehicles, and that's the follow-up to make sure that they have a rider on their insurance.
Operating as a livery, there's coverage. They've got to be operating as a livery, something where they're paid by a person to take them somewhere. That's the exclusion in the auto policy.
But
if they're a taxi cab, that's why the city, when they give a license to an Uber or something, they want proof that they have coverage and they've modified their policy.
Right, exactly. Right. So, I mean, this case came up a couple of times where an employee didn't have that coverage, and in fact, we're using the vehicle for on the job, which in this case...
In my 38 years in the business, I can tell you that I've never had a lot... Well, if all they're doing is compensating you because you took your own car, there's no exclusion in an auto policy I've ever seen.
Well, that's something we should look into then.
Yeah, they can pay you whatever the standard rate is, if it's, 16 cents a mile or whatever. They can do that to reimburse you for. But if you, on the other hand, decide that you're going to give people rides around town, that's a livery. And there is an exclusion in the policy for that.
Well, more to the point, what I'm talking about is, so your insurer, the guy you insured for a car, it's your personal business. Now all of a sudden, you're on the job, you're driving this same car on forest roads, maybe even places where it's really not designed to be. It's my understanding that there's been cases where, because that person was on the job,
telling me that they have hired your vehicle, that's a different animal too. That's back to, but a person who goes to a meeting in Salem for a League of Oregon Cities get together, the fact they took their own car and you compensated them for the mileage, there is no exclusion for that.
Okay, I mean, granted, as I said at the start, I'm not sure it would work the same for city councilors. But
I would say that, the person that you just described that's in the forest roads, if they're out there doing business with that vehicle, that's a different animal. Yeah, I think you're right on that.
Okay, you got some May dates for us, Ellen?
Yes, I was trying to pull up your calendar, so I haven't cleared these on your calendar, but
on Thursday, May 8th. That puts us 3 weeks from this meeting, or excuse me, April 17th meeting. If late afternoon would work for you then.
Mm-hmm. What was that, May what?
Thursday, May 8th.
I'm leaving on that day, and I'll be back on the 22nd.
But, well,
how about the first day in May? May 1st, which is also a Thursday,
will be the spring conference.
Not a problem for me. I'm fine.
At what time would that be out?
Again, late afternoon, 3, 4, or perhaps 2. I didn't get to reference your calendar. Okay.
You're leaving, you said, on the 8th? Is that your date?
I leave on the 8th. I can do the 1st. I know someone said they couldn't be here, but I think I can be here on the...
What about Tuesday the 6th?
Mm-hmm. That works for me.
We could do early afternoon or late afternoon.
Early afternoon would be better for me.
I don't care. Any of them.
Any.
How about 1 o'clock on Tuesday, May 6th? Wonderful. Okay. On the books.
Then do you want to do the 27th also, if that's kind of after the window that Anna's returning?
One.
I think it would be good to place a hold there as well, because we may need that second meeting in May. Councilor Hall, would you mind repeating that date? Sorry.
Yeah, I was suggesting the Tuesday, the 27th, same time, 1 p.m.
That's a May, Tuesday, the 27th? Yeah. Are you talking about doing both of those at the same time, 1 o'clock?
Allie, if you could send out an email with those dates. I don't have my calendar here. I'll get at it when I get home.
Absolutely. I'll send that out.
So our last item that we for sure need to get done today is nominate a chair moving forward for our remaining meetings. So... does anyone want to nominate themselves or somebody else?
I'll move to nominate Mark Coulson.
Second. I'll nominate Peggy.
You seconded it, right?
Yeah, I seconded.
That's motion seconded. All times.
You can't be checking your calendar now.
I'm still putting a couple of these in here. Yeah, that's the second.
Yeah.
I got May 6th.
May 27th.
Mm-hmm. Machine keeps wanting to make it 4 o'clock.
I know, mine did the same.
Okay, and then we got a 27th of May. Huh? Okay.
Can I just review the meeting dates just so I make sure I've got them here? I've got, obviously, today. Then Thursday, April 17th at 4. Tuesday, May 6th at 1. Tuesday, May 27th at 1. Okay,
that's correct.
Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Okay, does everyone have it in?
Didn't bother me. Mine's done.
All right, back to nominations of our chair. Circling back.
He hasn't declined it yet, so I guess do
you, Mark, you are nominated. Do you? Would you like? Would you accept the nomination if you were voted in?
I prefer not to do it, but I won't reject it out of hand unless there's somebody that's really excited about doing that. I tried to nominate Peggy, and I couldn't get a second.
He couldn't get a second.
Where were you, John, when I needed? For all the years we served,
I knew they were going to do that, so it's not me.
Well, no, I think you volunteered at one point.
Any other nominations? I'm not hearing any, Mark, sorry. All right, quick vote for all those in favor of Mark as chair moving
forward.
Only
vote for some nays.
Aye.
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 All right, Mark.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah. I never get mad, I always get even, however.
Those are our agenda items for today. Is there anything else that you all hope to cover during this meeting?
I checked with Janet Webster, and clearly it was a fever dream that I had that I thought she was on the committee previously. That was incorrect, but Rex Capri, I think, might have been the one who stepped away. So thanks. I just want to clarify my own craziness about that.
Anything else? We are adjourned for today, then. Good Thank idea. You all. Yep.
Seeing you again,
John. Yeah, I agree. Say hi to Wendy. Tell her to get well on the wild hip thing. It's big time stuff.
Yeah, thanks for your piece of paper.